Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes, France.
Angela Cherby, Fred Film Radio from the Cannes Festival. I'm here with Marussia Sirichkovskaya. Yeah, you know, I practiced before saying the name. Good morning, and first of all.
Good morning.
We are here to talk with you about your film that's in the ACID section called How to Save a Dead Friend, which is a very intense and demanding documentary for us to view. And can you tell us tell us something briefly about it, what it is about?
I made this film out of love for someone I couldn't save. And it was my attempt to, you know, save his memory in a way. He was my boyfriend, then husband, and all in all best friend, Kimi. Mm-hmm.
And the title is that, I mean, it's very relevant to the movie, because you say how to save a dead friend. This person was someone that wanted to die, and you couldn't prevent him to do so. And overall, this is a situation I don't know if it still is, very common in Russian in that days. So there was like a part of the youth population that was convinced that there was no other way to get over their life but ending it. So how is it still like this, and why there was such a cruel and devastating idea for a generation?
I'm not sure it's necessarily a generational problem, or it's so, I mean, in the film, it's linked to Russia because, like, I'm filming us and we live there, and of course, everything affects us and our story. But, you know, after all the screenings, I had so many people coming over to me and telling me, you know, I went through the same thing. Or something like, now I understand a friend of mine who went through the same thing better. And it means so much to me, because as I was growing up, I was very depressed and I didn't know what was happening to me. I thought this is, you know, just life. This is how it feels like. And I felt very isolated and I couldn't express, you know, all these feelings I had. So now when I hear people saying things like that, I feel like we're trying maybe to break this isolation, because I think depression is very much about, very isolating disease in a way. And yeah,
there is a phrase that you say in the film, in the first part of it, I don't remember exactly where you say that, I thought that being a teenager was like this. So there was that being a teenager was living up to a certain age and then decided that life was not worth it. So it was like the way to do, which is not actually, but you thought it was.
Yes, because I was depressed for a long time and I thought I didn't know, I thought this is normal, you know, all these feelings. And there wasn't like any easily accessible mental health possibilities in Russia. So it was, I was 30 when I finally found out that I was depressed.
Mm-hmm. So it took a long time.
A long time,
yes. Acknowledging.
Yeah.
There is this, it was a very long process filming this, because how many years did it go through?
The story starts in 2005, and it ends in 2016, and there's also this flashback from 2000. But, I mean, it's just my private archives. I wasn't filming with the idea that this will become this film. Mm-hmm. And I think I was filming actually also because I couldn't, express what I felt. I couldn't find the words, and I used cameras, I don't know, as a tool to make sense of the world, to communicate with it. So I had a lot of archives. So a couple of years after Kimi died, I was able to bring myself to watch all of it. It was very painful, but I saw that the film is somewhere there.
Oh yeah, it's really touching the way you're describing when you met. No, because you said that I finally found someone that could understand me and with whom I can talk about what I feel, being understood and not just being looked like I was an alien. Because this is another thing that I want to talk with you after that. This feeling stayed with the two of you throughout all your relationship. The fact of being like there for each other.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And yeah, I think that's probably why we were so close. You know, we were like, I could say best friends. I surely consider him to be my best friend. And because I felt like he knew me and so well, and I knew him, and we grew up together in a way and went through the same things, and it made us closer. Though we weren't, we got a divorce and eventually, but still we were very close.
Yeah, you know, but those things like do not change the feelings you have for each other. You know, they're just formalities, social formalities.
Yeah, yeah.
But they don't affect
the real
sentiment. And an issue that I think is really important for a movie like yours, the dealing about that, is that there is this kind of totally non-communication between a younger generation and the older generation. So there are a lot of parts in your film where there are like the parents included in the film, but they do not get it. They do not. They cannot. Maybe Kimi could not express how he felt, and they didn't even try to understand how he actually felt. Do you think that this could be one of the reasons of why people at a certain point just decided to let go, because they cannot find any kind of reciprocation and communicating?
Yeah, I think it's for sure it's a fact. You know, if you don't really talk about these things in your families, like we didn't really talk about things like that in my family, and we really didn't discuss any, you know, important things and our feelings. And Kimi's family is the same. I mean, they were much better than mine in this way, but still, they it's not like they were discussing their feelings and asking why, are you okay, things like that.
And how much do you think the social rules influence these situations?
Social rules?
Social rules in terms of how society taught you how to be. How society is influencing your life in terms of choices, you know, acceptance, all this kind of stuff. Do you think that maybe in another country, in another society, things could have been better for him or not? I don't know.
I mean, for sure, since we weren't, you know, in vacuum, you know, we lived at this time in this country, and of course, all of it influenced, affected our story. This general feeling of, you know, isolation, not only, you know, people who were depressed, but in general, this inability to maybe, you know, to connect in a way. And the also, as I said, mental health wasn't like such a easy thing to access, you know. And of course, I tried to show it in the film, you know, the aggression in the world around us. I think all of it affected, you know, this feeling that there might be not so much you can do to change life around and your life.
Not much of a way out, I think.
Yeah. And there is a scene where Kimi talks how the Russian constitution that was made, signed in 1993, and the shooting takes place in 2008 or 2009, I don't remember right now, but he says that he feels like he never participated back then because he was too young, and now he lives under the constitution he never voted for, and there were no minimum, people, limit of people who was going to vote for this constitution to be accepted. So he felt, he cannot really you know, change anything in his country. He doesn't, you know.
So he couldn't relate to it as it is, and he couldn't do anything before. So it was like it was there.
Yeah.
Just a passive viewer of what was happening.
Yeah, 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 for sure. I had this feeling. Though I was also in the film, I was participating in a protest, anti-government protest. So I think that what helped me in a way, maybe actually, you know, I had this feeling that I can probably change something, or there might be some hope. Maybe that's the thing that kind of, you know, kept me afloat a bit.
Listen, one last question about the visual of the film. So you had a lot. You were saying that you had a huge archive of images shot in different period of time with different techniques and with different machines, but you managed to keep. Well, there are different pastes of the images throughout the film because, you know, the oldest one looked different than the than the most recent one. And how did you work to make it all coherent with itself?
It was a long editing work, and yeah, we had so many different, you know, not only images, but mediums also.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, we just from the start, we knew that this kaleidoscope of formats and mediums will be our language, because it's coming from the material. It's coming from my, I don't know, way of seeing the world. I really like, you know, this like cinema from everywhere, when you include many different things in the films, not necessarily just, you know, image, not necessarily just a video or a film. We edited for 6 months, and it was during pandemic, and we were
so you had plenty of time.
yeah, on one hand, but also my editor was in Paris, I was in Moscow, so we were editing through Skype because there was no other choice. And it was hard, because you know how when you talk on Skype with someone, you cannot interrupt, you cannot argue,
because
algorithm makes like no one hears anything. So no, but we didn't argue that much. Yeah, it was difficult, because you spend 50% more time and you get 50% less.
Yeah.
But at least we had Skype, you know. It's
otherwise the project would have been stayed there.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for having been with us. Thanks a lot to Mariusza Sierikowskaya. Director of How to Save a Dead Friend, that was shown, is going to be shown here in Cannes at the asset section. Thanks a lot for being with us. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for such a nice talk.
And I'm Angela Cerbi for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.